Good afternoon. Everybody still awake? I'll see if I can fix that for you. Barry, I was thinking, you know, you don't need to worry about it. You can come in here tonight and you can sing. I'll save a place for you. So we'll take care of that. And you don't even have to practice. I'm not much of a farmer. I do live out in the country, but I just never did really do much farming. My wife, she's kind of got a green thumb, so she puts out some garden. And I, of course, will help her out by eating the food she grows. But I was just wondering, you farmers out here, people who have grown produce, grown things, how many of you start out by going out and finding the rockiest, clayest, dirtiest, garbage-piled dirt that you can find to grow your garden in? Nobody? I guess I was wrong about that. No, you find fertile ground. You find ground that's conducive to grow what it is you're trying to grow. And when you think about it, before we go into the waters of baptism and come out, pretty much that's what the soul that God has to work with is. It's just dirty. It's garbage. Because we have all this stuff from the world that we have in us and our views and the way we look at things. And once we go down that water of baptism and we come out and we receive God's Holy Spirit, I like to think of it as God clearing away the land and preparing it with fertile soil for the seeds that will be planted that will grow through our spiritual lives into fruit that we can harvest. And so I like to think of that soil that God has done that work for us. He's laid down a foundation of good, fertile soil that we can grow fruit in. And that's what our job in our Christian life is to grow those seeds, to grow the fruit that we need in our lives to become better Christians. And so I'm going to talk about that today. There was a little story I found that said a certain man owned a state-of-the-art greenhouse with equipment to create the ideal structure for plant growth. The atmosphere, lighting, and temperature were suited perfectly for flowers and fruit. At planting time, the man walked into a field and began collecting seeds off of weeds. He gathered crabgrass seeds, dandelion seeds, grass burr seeds, and so on. He put the seeds into a little bag and returned to the greenhouse. A friend who was with him said, "I thought you wanted a greenhouse full of flowers and fruit." "I do," the man replied. "Well, then don't you think you ought to plant flower seeds and fruit seeds? Do you have any idea how much those seeds cost?" The man responded. "Besides, you have to drive all the way to the garden center to get them. No thanks. I'm taking the cheap and easy route." I think sometimes we fall into that where we think it's too hard. I mean, you know, before you become baptized, we're told, count the cost. It's not a cheap way of life. But sometimes I think we fall into that where we try to take the shortcuts, where we try to go out and grab the easiest seeds we can and plant those and hope that something good comes up. Well, just like this guy, if you plant weeds, what's going to come up? Weeds. That's what you're going to harvest. And we don't want that. But it's like any garden, I think the thing that we forget is that any garden, when you plant it, you don't plant it and walk away. Now, I probably would try that. I probably would plant the seeds and walk away and say, hey, you know, let nature take its course. But you find out that you have weeds come up and take over what you're trying to grow. So you have to go out and you have to pull the weeds out. You have to do work. You have to keep the soil clean and fertile so that the fruit you want to provide, the vegetables you want to come out, can grow. It takes work. And that's what our Christian lives are. It takes work. It takes work to grow the fruits that God expects us to grow in our spiritual life. It's not something you can just sit back and just keep doing what it is you've always done and expect the fruit to come through that God talks about. You can't keep living your life the way you've always lived your life, expecting things to change. I think that's the definition of stupid, I believe. But yet sometimes we seem to do that. We seem to keep doing things over and over again. And we wonder, why doesn't things change in our lives? Why do we keep having the same problems that we have? It's because we haven't taken the time to fix our soil, to make it fertile, to pull the weeds out, to let the fruit grow and become plentiful. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I know you know this scripture well. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now notice here, Paul has set out two distinct lists. One is the fruit of the flesh. That's the things that we were doing before we got baptized and came into the church. That's the stuff we're supposed to leave behind. And he lays out the second list, and these are the fruits that we're supposed to develop as Christians, and we are supposed to start showing those fruit. I like to say that we harvest those fruits. When you plant those fruits and they grow, you're able to harvest them in your Christian life. When things aren't going good or whatever's going on, you're able to pull from that harvest to help you over these spots so that you continue living the kind of life that you're supposed to. But we have two distinct lists. And one, Paul's very clear with, if you continue doing the things in the first list, the things of the flesh, you will not maybe, not if it's a certain day of the week, not if you're from a certain group, you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you continue doing the things in the first list. So to me, that's a list we need to look at and pay attention to. And when we look in the mirror, do we see any of those weeds? Because if we do, we need to get them out and get rid of them. There's four principles I want to talk about to help illustrate this point. And the first one is simply, you reap what you sow. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You need to understand that. You need to understand that God is clear in this. What you reap is what you'll sow. If you're still sowing the seeds of the flesh, then that is what you're going to reap, which means you will not inherit God's kingdom. However, if you're planting and sowing the seeds of the Spirit, then you will reap those spiritual fruits. And that is the key to God's kingdom. When you live your life in a sexual and moral way, you will reap the consequences. When you sow moral impurity, you will eat the fruit of moral impurity. When you live in idolatry or hatred or strife or jealousy, your life will show that fruit. You reap what you sow. What are you sowing? I could tell you what I tend to sow sometimes, but I don't want to. I could look around and start telling you what I think other people are sowing. But you see, I don't reap from that. I reap from what I sow. And that's where we need to look. When you look in the mirror, what are you sowing? Because what you're sowing is what you will reap. This is not a trick. It's not politics. It's not hard. God's very clear. What we sow in our own lives is what we shall reap. The second principle. Much time may pass between sowing and reaping. Now, some of you may find this hard to believe, because I actually kind of found it hard to believe that people who are in church, Christians, or claim to be Christians, actually believe that because God has not struck them dead, that what they're doing is okay. There's people who will actually convince themselves that, you know, hey, I've done pretty good. I've sown a lot of good seed. Yeah, I got some weeds over here in the last couple of rows, But you know, God hasn't said anything. God hasn't sent famine to me. He hasn't flooded me out. I haven't been struck by lightning. So, you know, I think He's okay with those two rows of weeds over there. And so we tend to kind of try to ignore them and go on with life thinking, hey, it's all okay. The majority of my crop is good. And people actually fool themselves into thinking that that is okay. God does not accept sin. The weeds that you think are okay just because He hasn't struck you down dead, you need to get rid of, because He will hold you accountable for those weeds. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that all of us here are thankful that God does not react quickly when we sin. Or I think we would have a bunch of little black spots here where He's wiped us all out. So I'm thankful that He has patience with us. That He understands that we can grow. But you see, He expects us to grow. And sometimes we forget that. See, the world doesn't put a lot of responsibility on people nowadays. You know, they just say, be nice. Be good. It's okay. You see, God doesn't accept that. He has a higher standard. He wants His people to get rid of the weeds and grow the spiritual fruit. Never allow yourself to fall into that idea that, well, you know, pretty much God's blessing me, so it must be okay. No, you need to be thankful that God is blessing you, even though you have some things to still do. But He expects you to take care of that. The third principle, what you reap and sow determines your destiny. A Scottish author, Samuel Smiles, said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The easy-to-read version says, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. We were talking last night after the program on Life Online, and Dr. Ricks made mention, and I'd heard this before, that programmers, when they're programming, they will say, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage into a program, it's guaranteed that program is going to shoot garbage out, because that's all it does. It does what you put into it. What you put into your Christian life is what you're going to get back. If you're putting in fleshly things, that's what's going to come back at you. If you're putting in spiritual things, then that's what you're going to reap. What goes into our minds and into our hearts is what we act on. What are you putting in to your mind? Are you putting in still the worldly garbage? Or are you putting in the spiritual things of God's Word? I'm not going to come out there, and neither is any other minister going to come out there and set down on you. Number one, it hurts you. But force God's Word into you. I will come up here and I will speak. The other ministers will come up here and speak. What you do with that is entirely up to you. Whether you take it home and you meditate on it and you check Scripture to make sure we didn't lie to you, or whether you just come in here, listen to us, and go about and have your fun and pay no more attention and think, I'm good. It doesn't work that way. You've got to put in good things. You've got to spend the time putting in the good. You've got to spend the time putting in God's Word. Whether it be through reading God's Word, Bible study, listening to sermons, reading the literature that's put out. But you have to do it. You can't just sit back and wait for God to miraculously wake you up one morning going, oh, I know it all. Most of the wives out there would say the husbands already think that. The fourth principle, what you reap is a result of what is inside you. Luke chapter 6, beginning of verse 43. Luke chapter 6, beginning of verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns of men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What comes out of us is a result of what we put into us. Now, some of us are very good at hiding things. Some of us can put on some very good shows, especially if it's just for a couple of hours of Sabbath service. You can put on a show and make people think what a wonderful person you are. Wow, what a good Christian they are. You ask them a question, they have all this information they can just pour out. They're amazing. They can quote Scripture. But if that's all they're doing, and if they're going back out in the world and continuing on with what they were doing when they came into the church and were baptized, if they're continuing on with those fleshly works, then that is what's going to come out sooner or later. You can only put on a show for so long. And then it'll start showing. And people will see who you are. No matter how good you are at trying to hide it, who you really are will come out. Because what you put in is what will come out sooner or later. And the thing is, even if you fool your brethren, you haven't fooled God. Sometimes it's almost like we don't realize that. We don't realize that God knows exactly who we are. You can fool brethren, but you can't fool God. But yet some of us continue like, well, I'm okay. Nobody found out today. I'm all good. I passed today. Everybody still thinks I'm a good Christian. I'm okay. And we continue fooling ourselves. It's always amazing to read things that I read about people and think, why did you ever think you could get away with that? Why did you think you would ever be able to do that? But yet they do. Humans continuously do things that absolutely make no sense whatsoever. A lot of it comes out on YouTube. But people do it. It's like God doesn't exist. But we know He does. Results that you can look for from spiritual fruit. First one is, spiritual fruit produces Christ-likeness or love. You know, Claude read and talked about love. You know, God's Word is clear that people will know we are a Christian. People will know we are God's people by how we love one another. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard to love one another? Oh, it's not. I love everybody. But yet we still have problems. We still have problems in God's church. Because people say they love the brethren, but then they do things that is not love. It brings hurt. But they don't see it. It's not only the love of brethren, but it's also the love of themselves. Do you know that Satan loves for you to feel bad and feel guilty? Satan loves nothing better than have God's people beat themselves up. Because he can take it to such a point you become so depressed that you just stop and give up. We have to love ourselves. Now that can go too far. That can make us arrogant. Make us holier than thou. But if it's the right kind of love, if it's Christ-like love, it's the love that we understand that we fail, but God will forgive us. And He loves us anyway. As long as we're trying to get rid of the weeds and getting them out of His garden. Spiritual fruit produces joy, contentment. You know, Mark mentioned that you can read the update and you could think that, yes, it's scary. It's fearful. If you don't understand God's Word and what He tells us. If you are doing what God tells us to do, if you are preparing and putting in and sowing the right seeds so that you can harvest the fruits of the Spirit. You have nothing to fear. You actually can have contentment no matter what's going on in the world. It's horrible to see the things that we see in the world. It's horrible to think about the people that ISIS have killed, have gone in and just murdered because of their beliefs. Knowing that they would like nothing better than to come busting through that room and kill every single one of us in the most horrible way that they could. And you can ponder that. And you can lose all joy and all contentment. Because you're losing focus. You're thinking about things of the world. It doesn't matter. I don't want to die. I don't want anybody to bust through the door and unload a gun on me. But I'm not going to worry about it. Because if that happens, my physical body dies. I know God's truth. So I'm not going to worry about it. I don't want to die, but I'm not going to ponder on it. I'm not going to sit and continuously think about it to where my joy gets gone because I'm not content. The story that I found kind of hit home with it says, there was once a very old widow who lived in a dirt floor shack. She worked hard for every bit of food she ate. After one particular long, hard day, she sat down and looked at the dinner before her. She had a glass of water in a broken cup, a dry crust of bread, and a handful of beans. A smile broke across her haggard face as she wondered, all this in God's Spirit too. I mean, think about that. Even in your most worst circumstances, if you can say, I've got God's Spirit, how can anything be bad? I don't see how it can. Spiritual fruit produces unity or peace. I'm sure all of you have witnessed or participated in, or at least heard of, church members backbiting or backstabbing each other because something is not to their liking. Someone didn't talk to someone or didn't shake their hand or didn't sing their favorite hymn or spoke too long or didn't invite them out to eat and on and on and on. You find Christians committing antichrist-like deeds all because they got their feelings hurt. How can this possibly happen in God's church? It's because some people are not sowing peace. Instead, they're sowing jealousy, strife, hatred, dissension, and selfishness. Let me ask you this. What is unity worth in your church? Think about that. What is it worth to have unity in your church? Do you have to have it your way? Do you fight against God's ordained leadership of the church? Do you pick apart someone's every action? If we can't have unity in our churches, how can we ever have peace? And if we can't have peace, why would God ever send a babe to us? But it goes beyond just Sabbath service in churches. We desperately need to sow peace so we will stop yelling at our kids. We desperately need to sow peace so we stop being cold to our spouses. We desperately need to sow peace so we will stop hating our boss. We desperately need to sow peace so we will stop having road rage. We desperately need to sow peace so we will demonstrate Christ in our hearts. We desperately need to sow peace so we can actually reap some peace. I don't know about you, but after a week of work, I need the Sabbath. I need the peace that comes with it. And if I go in and there's no unity in the church and there's no peace in the church, how do I find peace? We have to sow peace to reap peace. Spiritual fruit produces humility, patience. Say this to yourself, I am not the center of the universe. When you're getting frustrated because people aren't jumping as fast and as high as you want, say it. When you feel like that things aren't going the way you believe they ought to be going, say it. I am not the center of the universe. When you don't get your way, when you have to wait in line, when your cell phone doesn't get good coverage, when people don't take your advice, just remind yourself, I am not the center of the universe. Remember, we are supposed to have a servant's attitude. We need to be thinking about other people, not ourselves and our circumstances, but thinking of our brethren and what they need and what we can do to help. When you're thinking about other people, it's kind of hard to think about yourself. Spiritual fruit produces compassion, which is kindness, goodness, and gentleness. If you don't plant these seeds and cultivate them, we will have a hard time accepting any correction. How many of you had brethren come to you and tell you that something you're doing is not proper, something you're doing is incorrect, something you're doing is wrong? If you don't have the proper seed sowed, then you're going to react like you would in the world. How dare you? Who are you? You tell me what I'm doing wrong? Well, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. And that's how we react. That shows a lack of the proper kind of fruit that's been sown. And so you're reaping the wrong kind of fruit. If you're not willing to accept the help, because that's what it is, it's help from the brethren to correct us, to correct the wrong attitude, to correct the bad fruit, to help us see where the weeds are if we can't see them. We should be thankful that they're helping us, because if they don't, and we don't get rid of those weeds, we may not be in God's kingdom. Who here wants to get upset with somebody for telling you you're going the wrong way and God's kingdom's over here? But yet that's how we react. How dare you tell me where it's at? I'll find it. Even if they're going in the wrong direction. Romans 15:14 says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Brethren, that's part of what the fellowship is about. Sure, it's about having a good time and enjoying each other, but it's also about getting help. It's also about having brethren point out when we've gone off base and accepting it, not fighting it, not trying to tire them down because they pointed out a flaw in us, but accepting it and saying, "Thank you, I'll work on that." That's the proper fruit. But if you've not sown compassion, then you won't be able to harvest that fruit. Spiritual fruit produces trust and dependence on God. Faith. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Being in God's Word produces and grows our faith. The more we are in it, the more we are able to trust God. The more you know God's Word, when something happens and you see God's Word at work, the more you realize you can trust it, because it's true. God doesn't lie to us. Spiritual fruit produces repentance or self-control. Without self-control, there is no repentance. And without repentance, there is a danger of developing a hard heart. If you don't repent, then you continue on doing what it is you're doing. Repentance means you change. If you don't change, you continue doing the same things you've been doing, which are the things of the world, fleshly things.